Este canto es para referirme a un hombre que cree que tiene el mundo entero en sus manos, no sabiendo que está muy equivocado y se le puede venir un hecatombe. Con ese armamento se cree un Superman. A Uribe y los gringos maldice y ultraja. El tiro le va a salir por la culata y como a Saddam Hussein le va a pasar. Deja la amenazadera, porque tú lo sabes, Chávez, que cerquita la frontera.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Dr. Kevin Casasamora, who's a senior fellow in foreign policy in the Brookings Latin American Initiative. Most recently, he served as Costa Rica's vice president, as well as minister of national planning and economic policy. Dr. Casasamora has authored several studies on political finance, elections, democratization, and civil-military relations in Latin America. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dr. Kevin Casasamora.
It's a real pleasure to be here.
And clearly the health of President Hugo Chavez of Venezuela has been deteriorating. There's a lot of secrecy surrounding it. He's had several bouts of radiation therapy in Cuba, as much as we know. But a report some months ago said that he had prostate cancer that had metastasized into his pelvis. And it seems that the treatment he's getting now would indicate that the cancer has spread.
The real question here, Ian, is that nobody knows. You know, I wouldn't be able to say whether that's a fair description or not, because the information about the health of President Chavez has been kept under wraps, and that in itself is obviously a sign of a something that is, quite frankly, you know, not compatible with a full democratic regime. I mean, a full democratic regime, those things are you know, a matter of public discussion, because they have implications for the life of the country. Obviously, that's not the case in Venezuela.
Well, but it seems, though, that with this secrecy, there is denial. And with the denial, there's the inability to create some kind of stable political succession.
There's no question about it. I mean, you know, part of the reason why there, you know, no confirmation about the deterioration of President Chavez's health has been forthcoming is that the moment that's become official, a vicious power struggle will unleash in the ruling party, for sure. And one of the things that one has to remember is that the ruling party is pretty much a single-handed creation of Hugo Chavez. I mean, he pulled together a lot of different political movements and factions that supported his original presidential bid and that have been supporting him over the years. But it's a very heterogeneous creature that I don't think anybody other than President Chavez will be able to keep together.
So, Dr. Kevin Casasamora, give us an idea of when you say there'll be a vicious secession battle within the ruling party. I understand his brother, Chavez's brother, who's a governor of one of the provinces, is as close to an heir as possible. But there are other rivals and centers of power in the military and elsewhere. So can you walk us through these centers of power?
Yeah, I mean, his brother is likely to play a crucial role. I don't think that he has anywhere close to the power or the ability to prevail in that struggle. I think there are other political actors. I can mention, for example, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Nicolás Maduro, is another important player. And obviously, the biggest question of all, and probably the biggest actor of all in any political transition, will be the military. And what is happening within the military is also very difficult to know at this point. But I can assure you that if push comes to shove and some kind of transition gets on the way as a result of the deterioration of President Chavez's health, the key actor to watch will be the military.
So the military, though, there have been reports that some senior officers have been unhappy about the influence of Cuba in the military, particularly Cuban intelligence, in being heavily involved, and I guess in a way playing a role in terms of you know monitoring the possibility of any kind of putsch from the military. I mean, that's clearly what the what's implied here from what my reading of it.
Yeah, there has been a faction of the military that has been uneasy with the, you know, with the very close relationship with the Cubans. However, they haven't been able to prevail because ultimately the military, or at least the dominant faction within the military, responds to Chavez. The question is what the reaction will be if they sense that the regime has no future. The fact that Chavez himself might have no future doesn't mean that the military will not try to preserve the very significant influence it has acquired over public policy and the very expansive role it has accrued over the past few years. I mean, they will surely try to preserve that regardless of the future of Hugo Chavez. I mean, there's an institutional interest at stake.
But this is a highly polarized country, Dr. Kevin Casas-Zamora, again, senior fellow in foreign policy in the Brookings Latin American Initiative and formerly Costa Rica's vice president. We're talking about the health of Hugo Chavez and the lack of any secession, even a discussion of a secession. The he has obviously been elected. He's popular, particularly amongst his constituency, but he's deeply unpopular amongst a lot of the middle class and, of course, the old ruling elite. But this is a highly polarized country with an incredibly high crime rate. People that I speak to down there say it feels like they're living in a tinderbox.
Yes, I mean, it is an extraordinarily polarized country. I mean, and actually, it speaks volumes about the strength of the democratic culture of Venezuela that they are not shooting each other. I mean, almost any other Latin American country, save perhaps Costa Rica and Uruguay, maybe, you know, would have had much more significant levels of political violence than Venezuela. Given the level of polarization, I have the impression that the real problem here is that as with any other authoritarian regime, I mean, the real problem is that there are no institutional channels to resolve a succession problem, and so. What you will have is a power vacuum, because the problem is that the opposition, which has gained in strength and has gained in ability, because they were incredibly clumsy for the first few years of the Chavez tenure, it's also very divided. I mean, they've been able to coalesce. I mean, they were able to to join forces and gain, you know, a very significant result in the last congressional election. But the moment that they smell blood and that they smell weakness in the ruling party, I sense that, you know, power struggles will also unleash within the opposition. So the real problem here is the risk of a political vacuum taking over Venezuela. And that's why the role of the military is so crucial, because that's the kind of situation in which the military tends to have the last word.
But my understanding is that if it wasn't for a $30 billion line of credit from the Chinese, the country would be in terrible shape. How are they doing in terms of oil revenues? I know there's been a push to nationalize more and more and more of industry there, but the fact that the Chinese have had to bail them out suggests that the economy may be fragile.
The economy is in dire straits. Venezuela has had the highest inflation in Latin America for quite a few years now. And it continues to be the only country other than Haiti, if I recall correctly, that is yet to record positive economic growth after the economic crisis. I mean, all the rest of the region, all the rest of Latin America has grown very nicely, has rebounded very nicely after the economic crisis. Venezuela is still mired in negative growth. And as I said, I mean, the only country that shares that that trend is Haiti. So that tells you something about the Venezuelan economy. The economy is very fragile, and the Chinese have played a role of lenders of last resort. But I mean, I don't think they're willing to. I mean, they're going to hedge their bets. They're going to hedge their bets. I don't think that they're going to continue bailing Chavez out. The intention of the Chinese is very explicit, and is to secure future supplies of oil. And it's actually very interesting when you read the fine print of the contract that have been signed between the Chinese National Bank and the Venezuelan government. The Chinese put a lot of pressure on the Venezuelans to make sure that the loan was approved by Congress in such a way that they could demand repayment from any future government of the country. It was not done at the whim of the president.
Very interesting.
So that tells you that the Chinese, yes, they're willing to support Chavez, but only to the extent they managed to secure future supplies of oil, and only to the extent that is the Venezuelan government, the Venezuelan state as such, that is bound by this relationship, not Chavez.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Dr. Kevin Casasamora.
My pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Dr. Kevin Casasamora, as a senior fellow in foreign policy in the Brookings Latin American Initiative. Most recently, he served as Costa Rica's vice president as well as minister of national planning and economic policy. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking to the filmmaker of a new film that opens tomorrow, You Betcha, about who else but Sarah Palin.
She's a cool blast from Alaska, ingrained with common sense. She's not a Harvard lawyer, but she knew what the founders meant. A cold blast from the north that freezes Congress in their tracks. With God and the Tea Party, she's gonna take it